That was great. I loved it. Thank you, choir. And thank you for that Eagle song that I requested. I appreciate you, Dee, and the choir. That was mine. I really love that song. Before we start, let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the sunshine and the rain. Thank you for our church and our church family. And I pray that the words that I speak will be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. For somebody that don't know, I'm Richard Ward. If you don't know me, you know my wife, Alita, and my kids and grandkids, and my grandmother, Grandma Ward, Carol Ward, taught Sunday school here for 60 years. She always told me I should be a doctor or a preacher. Even though I didn't become either, I know she was always proud of all of her grandchildren, and she encouraged all of us. I'm going to say a little bit about doing this. I have a great deal of respect for somebody that gets up here and does this on a weekly basis. I worked real hard this past week. I waited till last Monday. I have been thinking about what I was going to say for over a month, and I waited till last Monday to start putting it down on paper. So then I said, I think I'm ready. I'm going to read through this and see how long I'm going to time myself. 8 minutes. So I went back. And I started adding to it. And thank goodness we don't have another week, because it'd be an hour and a half long, because I was changing it before I left the house this morning. I don't know how they do it, but I have a lot of respect. Now, when I was a young man, me and Joe Sheffield sat back there on that back pew where Eric and his family and all of y'all are sitting. I don't care how late we stayed out on Saturday night, we always made it to church. But right after the service started, we'd get up and sneak out and go to my sister Marie and Jerry Jones' house and hang out. And then we'd time it and slip back in right before the service was over. We were just positive that nobody knew what we were doing. Nobody knew what we were doing, but I got news for Joe. I don't think he came today. He said he was going to try to make it, but the choir and the preacher can see pretty good from up here. We didn't fool nobody. But as you can see, I'm not a preacher. And the reason I'm here is because our preacher left, Ryan Mason, in December the 15th. And so we're rotating along with Ryan Lancaster and some of the deacons and some other men. And we're taking a Sunday each. And I think it's working out pretty well. We'll see after I get through if it's still working out pretty well. Let me give you a little search team update. We've got 7 members on the search team, and I'm one of them. And it's something that's just a great responsibility, and it's nothing that you can rush. That would be a problem if we started rushing to try to just grab the first person that we talked to. We met with Mike Everson from the Georgia Baptist Convention, and he teaches search teams how to search. And I think when Hank did his search team, they met with him, and I don't know if y'all did too, but we were doing most everything that we're supposed to be doing. It was a few things that we learned that we're going to incorporate into our search. We've already looked at a lot of resumes, and we've had some contact with some people and email and phone calls, and we're working, but I need your help. We need your help. We need prayer. And I, every Sunday in our Sunday school room, we pray for the search team, and I'm sure that some of you are too, but every one of you, on your daily prayer, if you'll pray for this search, because that's what it is, so that we can find the man that God has for us. Now let's start with Scripture. Matthew 18:20, I think it was in the bulletin. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. Now those were the words of Jesus. And what I think needs to happen is before we go forward, we're looking for a new preacher. We need to look back at where we have been. Plus, I love history too. If you don't know that, if you've never been to the Hub, you'll know I love history because it's a history of Arlington there. And if you don't, if you've never been, I'll give you a personal tour whenever you want to see it. And before I get into the details of what I'm going to talk about, I want to let you know that I got most of my history from the Arlington Baptist Church, 100-year history written by Peggy Connor, 1879 and 1979. And also another book that was loaned to me by Miss Eugenia Strickland, The Descendants of Captain Daniel Pepper, 1706 to 1770 of South Carolina. Now, Arlington Baptist Church in the city of Arlington came into being about the same time, so I'm going to start with the city. There are three things that I think about when I think about the beginnings of this city: the railroad and two men, Pepper and Maxwell. After the War of Northern Aggression, Georgia was readmitted to the Union in 1868. But then it was expelled again in 1869 because it rejected Amendment 15, and that was the right for every citizen to vote regardless of race. And that's pretty sad. Well, they came to the census in 1870, and they ratified that amendment, and they were readmitted. Franklin L. Pepper was Calhoun County's representative to the Georgia General Assembly from 1868 to 1870. Captain Pepper moved to this area, what we call Arlington now, from Fort Gaines. And of course, a lot of you may have heard this before, but Arlington was not Arlington, it was called Lickskillet. And he started buying land around where Arlington is now. Now, he was appointed to a board that was to bring the railroad system through Arlington. That railroad was known as the Albany, Mobile, and New Orleans Railroad Company. The railroad, well, he also served as the first station agent after the railroad got here. The railroad tracks were finally completed to Arlington in 1873. Now, this was a tremendous boon to this town. Arlington was created mainly because of the railroad, and its fortunes rose with the railroad, and it also fell with the railroad. My daddy told me that years and years ago, the train used to drop the mail off four times a day. They had four trains, and everyone had mail service. Four times a day, that's changed a lot. Now, an academy had already been built and was located on the oldest portion of Oak Grove Cemetery. And if you don't know where that is, get on this road and go back through the middle of town when it dead ends into the cemetery, and you turn right to go to Morgan. The cemetery, Oak Grove Cemetery, is where you're dead end there. The Arlington Methodist Church was established in 1873, the same year that the railroad got here. And it used that academy as their church building until their church was built. The Pepper home was located next to the Arlees Hotel, and it faced the railroad track. If you don't know where the Arlees Hotel was, Ryan's house is right here to my right. Right on the other side of that is that S.G. Rita building. That was the Arlees Hotel. Just to the right of that was the Pepper home, and they both faced the railroad tracks. Franklin's son, James Daniel Pepper, inherited most of the Lickskillet property from his father. So in the early 1870s, he partnered with Major Audley J. Maxwell to survey the land and the lots and streets that were to become Arlington. Major Maxwell shared the property for surveying it. He shared 50-50 with Pepper. So Arlington was established in 1873, which coincided to the date the railroad got here. They were coming from Albany, going west towards Dothan. They got to Leary a year before in 1872, so guess what year Leary was established? 1872. Now, these two guys named two streets after them. The one right behind the church here is Pepper Street, and it dead ends into Maxwell Street, but it goes down by the peanut mill. Now, our church On July the 6th, 1879, under a brush arbor located on the southwest corner of Highland Avenue and Morgan Road, the Arlington Baptist Church was constituted. When you get to the stop sign at Oak Grove that I was talking about, where you're going to turn left to go to Morgan, just look to your right, and that's where I think that was. That's the way I read it. 14 people were there as founders, and I think I need to read those names because I think it needs to be read. Thomas Muse, Sarah Muse, S.H. Powell, J.R. Thigpen, Mary Thigpen, Joseph G. Collier, George Pace, Jenny Pace, Lavonia Rye, Mary D. Lane, R. Jenny Dunlop, Elizabeth Daniels, Elizabeth Timmons, and Ellen Swords. And that first pastor was the first name I called out, Reverend Thomas Muse. Now, that would be 140 years ago this summer. And I know of three descendants that are still in this church, and it may be more, but John Timmons, Gary Gleaton, and Nan Stewart that still attend this church. Now, as I said, the Arlington Methodist, which was established in 1873, they graciously allowed us to share their sanctuary until we could build our own building. And I guess that was the one that was on Dogwood Street. It's not the one they have now. We've had 33 pastors from 1879 to present. I'm not going to list them all, but for the sake of the people that are here, I'm going to go from 1950 forward. Rex Whidden, T.L. McConnell, E.B. Kuhn, Fred Swan, J.B. Redd, Jesse Alligood, Tucker Singleton, Jim Bolts, Gary Haddon, and Ryan Mason. Now, Arlington Baptist built their first building in 1881, and from best I can tell from reading that history, it was somewhere close to where that brush arbor was. I think it was in that same block. But then a new building was built in 1911, located right over here to my left where the nursery is now. I was baptized in that building, and I think a lot of you were too. It was gutted by fire in 1963. And so groundbreaking for the new sanctuary, which is this building that we're in now, was January of 64, with a dedication October of 1964. Now, my granddaddy, R.C. Ward Sr., came to Arlington in 1909 with his parents and his brother, my great-grandparents. And he married my grandmother shortly thereafter. That was Carol Clements that was born in Edison. And that's my ties back to the Cleckleys because her younger sister was your mother-in-law. She told me that her husband was once banned from this church. She said it was for gambling. They were pretty strict in those days. No dancing, drinking, card playing. And after a year, she said they let him come back. I think it was a little drinking too, but she didn't mention that. Now, that's a brief history of our church. And if you want to learn more, you can read that book I was talking about that Miss Peggy Connor wrote. I've read it a couple of times. But the true church is not the buildings. I've talked about the buildings. The true church is its people. Now, I've just been sitting and thinking, and I'm going to give you a list, and it's not complete by any means, but a list of some of the people that have passed on that have been in this church that I remember, and I'm sure you'll remember too. And don't get mad at me if I leave out somebody because it's not a complete list. I already mentioned my grandmother, Grandma Ward, Miss Marguerite, Mr. C.L. Jester, Lucille Timmons, Elise Daniels, Jeannie and Big Ike Newberry, Ed and Joe Kaminsky, Mary Alice and Joseph Sheffield, Pearl and Salt Mumford, Lois and Harold Thornton, all of the Gleaton brothers. When they all came on the same day with all of their family. It was like a Gleaton family reunion here. Ruby and Buddy Hollington, Idella and Boy White, Berta and J.D. Cook, Valera and T.E. Parker. I got to stop here. Miss Valera was my next door neighbor. She sang in the choir. I know she did because every Saturday morning she practiced at home. And all of us kids knew about it. We listened for it. Lily Mae and Marlo Ingram, Miss Eileen Stewart, Charlie Will Johnson, Willard Odom, Thomas Daniels, and I know it's a lot more. I'm sure we could all add to this list. But I think it's important that we remember our founders and the others that have gone on before us. We've seen a lot of dedicated, God-loving saints pass through these doors. They prayed, taught, sang, tithed, and ministered to this community. We need prayer. We can't get anything done without God. 2 Chronicles 7:15. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. And how will we learn about God and His plan without someone to teach us? James 3:1. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Those are strong words. And our worship service just wouldn't be the same without our choir and congregational singing. Psalms 13:6. I will sing the Lord's praise, for He has been good to me. And how do you think that we can keep the lights on and the preacher paid without tithes and offerings? Malachi 3:8. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. If you're not tithing, pray about it. You can't outgive God. I've heard Dan Harris say that before, and I use it. And that's a whole nother sermon that somebody else can preach. And lastly, I witnessed many people from our church go and minister to others in our community after Hurricane Michael. They ran chainsaws, they cooked, they served meals, they washed clothes for the linesmen, and many, many other things. So I'm glad to see that, and I was just proud of everybody that took part in that. It's up to us to continue to use our gifts to serve God and His people, to further God's kingdom, to witness that to those that don't know about the free gift of eternal life through belief in Jesus Christ. There's nothing more important than your salvation. And I'll repeat that because I believe it. There is nothing more important than your salvation. Go back to Matthew 18:20. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. Arlington Baptist Church has been doing just that for 140 years. Now I'd like to close with the very last verse of the Bible, Revelation 22:21. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Thank you.